The unsurpassed, penetrating and perfect truth is seldom met with, even in 100,000 myriad kalpas. Now we can see and hear it, we can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself. Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. Today I'm going to talk about grasping. Not grasping, grasping. I tried saying grasping, it doesn't work. It has to be grasping. Anyway, I think grasping is a good word because it implies grabbing onto something we don't have and also clutching onto things we do have. They're both a part of grasping, wanting something and then not wanting it to be gone. It implies kind of greed, I want that, and also the anxiety of I don't want to lose it, you know, which actually are both the same kind of thing. I want this, and when I'm having got it, I don't want it to depart, because everything does. Thinking there's something I have in order to be complete or happy. Either I don't yet have it, and I want it, or I've got it, and I don't want to lose it. Always, there's suffering. Dukkha. Suffering, as the Buddha said, caused by ignorance and craving or grasping. It's pretty normal to want certain things and not to want other things. We like some foods and not other foods. We like some people, not other people. We like some situations and not other situations. And this is how we seem to be. We're not completely equanimous. Here I am. Everything is fine. I love everybody. I will eat anything, more or less. Everything is fine. I'm cool. None of us is like this, so, you know. But actually, this wanting and not wanting, as we know, creates suffering. And this is no great news to us. We talk about it a lot. And it creates suffering in proportion to the strength of our wanting and not wanting. How much I like this and want it, how much I just can't stand it and want it gone. And we all intimately know grasping. We all have it arise constantly in our lives. Grasping at the big piece of chocolate cake. But sometimes there's something in our little body that says, you know, I don't really want all that cake. I'd rather have a little piece or maybe something else. And we don't listen. We'd grab the thing anyway because when am I going to get chocolate cake again? And then we wolf it down and then we might feel grotty or regretful. Or why was I so greedy, you know? I mean, it's not all it's cracked up to be. We all know this. It's not a sin. It's just something that can create unsatisfactoriness, suffering, not very comfortableness, at least. We grasp at comfort, you know, things that make us feel nice and safe and happy and pleasurable experiences. We plan a trip to somewhere exotic. And then we get all anxious that it might not work out. You know, we were happy before, but now we've got this trip planned, and is it going to be okay, and will we all be healthy, and will it all work, and what will the weather be like, and all this stuff. And if it doesn't work out the way we'd planned, we suffer, because we were expecting something else. We were expecting nice weather, and it rained. We were expecting to be happy and healthy, and everybody fought, and got sick with dysentery, and God knows what. And so we're unhappy because we're disappointed because it wasn't what we had hoped. But if we don't have any expectations, we just go, thinking, well, this is just life, here we are somewhere else. We actually might enjoy ourselves a whole lot more. Sometimes on a rainy day, you see something really beautiful, you know, that wasn't at all what you had in mind. And sometimes the camping trips you really remember are the ones where it snowed on your tent. I know this for myself. If you don't expect too much, you might enjoy it all more, a lot more, because we're not wanting something particular. Having energy and enthusiasm for the things we like to do, and then feeling all tired and dispirited with our ordinary, mundane, daily life. Oh, I have all this enthusiasm for camping, whatever it might be. You know, and then we come back to our work or whatever it is and think, oh, I'm tired. Or we really like to do such and such. and we can't stand it, do something else. And sometimes, of course, we're tired because we suddenly realize how tired we were when we were out on our camping trip or whatever it was. And that's, you know, we all know preferences. We all know what it's like to have all the energy for something and then feeling all drained when it's something we don't want to deal with. But we need to see what we're doing. It's normal. But to look and see what we're doing. Where am I applying my energy and my effort? Is this the best thing? You know? Maybe it is. But just to look and to consider. We see something we really like. Maybe it's a beautiful Buddha statue or even a book on the Dharma. It might be a good, wholesome thing. But we see this thing and we want it. And we get all anxious that we won't get it. We were completely happy before we saw this thing. You know, we didn't miss it, we weren't unhappy without it, but we see this thing and we want it, and then we're all anxious because we might not get it or something. And it's really helpful to remember, I was fine 5 minutes ago or yesterday, whenever it was, I hadn't seen this thing. I wasn't miserable without it. So maybe I don't have to get all anxious. Maybe I can just either, you know, maybe it comes my way, fine, that's nice. But if it doesn't, not to get all bent out of shape. Oh, here's this thing. I really wanted it. Now I can't have it. Just to remember that I was okay without it before I ever saw it. Just put this in perspective. Our happiness does not depend on having this thing we never knew about yesterday. You know, we probably don't really need it. You know, grasping at wealth and security for ourselves and people we love is completely understandable, and it's a suffering, because the more we have, the more we want. And the more we have, the more we worry that we'll lose what we have because we have more to lose, or so we think. And it's an endless cycle. People who don't have very much at all don't have to worry so much that they don't have that much to lose. And we all know this kind of the truism that people who, you know, have very little seem to be happier than people who have lots. Grasping at people, at relationships. I really want to have a relationship with that person, you know, and it's a suffering. It's a suffering. Sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. And if it works out, fine. But if it doesn't work out, or if it's a relationship that actually has been outgrown and we actually need to let it go and move on, but we're clinging on to the past or clinging on to this person out of insecurity or neediness, it's a suffering. I think many of us know the depth of suffering that this involves. Unrequited love. Or when the children don't seem to love us as much as we love them, or need us as much as we need them. Or other relatives. This seems to be an unbalanced thing. We're pouring love into this thing, this relationship, and we're not getting much back. I thought that love was more or less a giving thing. But the more I gave, the less I got. You know? Grasping at our youth and our health, you know, grasping at staying, looking beautiful, or losing weight, or being healthy, doing all this exercise. I'm sure it's all very nice, but you're grasping, you're anxious. I've got to stay young and healthy because otherwise I might fall over and die. Grasping at life, you know, trying to prolong our life out of fear of death is the, you know, people who kind of go have one thing after another, when really it's time to kind of pack it in and say, bye guys, off to the next thing. Or, you know, I don't mean to belittle it, because it's a terrible suffering to lose somebody we love. If somebody else is maybe dying and we try to prolong their life, are we doing them a favor? We might not be. It might be just grasping, not wanting to let somebody go. And it's a real sadness, it's a real suffering. And to be able to hold it all lightly, not to grab on too tightly to life, to health, to youth, strength, beauty, all that. To just be able to hold it with an open hand and not grip on out of fear or greed or whatever it might be. grasping at spiritual experiences or visions or enlightenment or whatever it might be, whether we have some, you know, when, often when we start to meditate, we have this nice experience of peaceful joyfulness. Lovely. Then it never comes back. And we keep trying to get it back. What did I do wrong? It was fine the first time I sat down to meditate, or the second day or whatever. And then it's gone. I think it's the Buddha actually grabbing us, saying, try this, you know. And then we never get it. We keep trying and keep trying. It keeps us training. But if we're grabbing or wanting something, grasping at something, we can create suffering because there's this expectation. It's like the great trip to Hawaii, you know. It's not what we expected, but it may be a whole lot better than experiences. It may be peace of heart, which is much better, but not quite what we had in mind. Hard work, maybe. We can do it, you know. But having that expectation that I will be enlightened, I'll be happy, my problems will go away, I won't be a mean, crabby, miserable, greedy person anymore, I'll be nice, I'll be wise, is work. And it doesn't seem to happen overnight. We just keep training and training and doing our best. And that contentment kind of creeps up on us. And we look back and we think, I'm not nearly as miserable as I used to be. I'm not as mean. I'm not as worried about everything. I'm not as anxious. I'm not as selfish. And sometimes we feel more selfish than we used to be because we see it now. But still, we're growing. We're deepening. Otherwise, we'd never do this. But it really, really helps us in ways that are very subtle, much more subtle than having some great experience we had in mind. Dogen says, trying to grasp it and, you know, get back some kind of experience is like losing a man losing his sword over the side of a ship, then marking the place on the rail where it went in. Not much good, you know. I really like that. You can't go back. You have to go on. Water's just flowing right by, the ship's moving, and we're on board, if we're lucky. You don't dive in after our sword, or because you have trouble there. You have to just keep going on and not try to get it back. Not try to get our old relationships back, not try to get our old things back, not trying to get the past back. Grasping at memory, things that we used to have, the way things used to be, the golden days of yore. They weren't that golden, you know. And when we grasp at something, it starts to die. It's like picking flowers. You see a flower, and often a person, they'll want it, so they'll pick it, and of course it starts to die. But if we could just be content to see that lovely flower, enjoy it, let it be, then we're happy, and the flower's happy. If we could just not grab onto things and strangle them, not grab onto our relationships and sort of strangle people with our neediness, just enjoy the things that come our way and not grab onto them, then we can be grateful because there's room for gratitude there. If we're grabbing, we kind of strangle the life out of it and strangle the gratitude out of our life. But if we can just accept things with an open hand, not grip on, and let them go when it's time for them to go, then we can really enjoy things because there's space there. We're not expecting, we're not grabbing, we're not all disappointed when it doesn't work out the way we had in mind. It does something different, maybe better. We can enjoy our relationships and they'll flourish better if we're not grabby and needy or wanting something from the other person. All those things, they just, if you can hold them with an open hand, not grasping, then there's more space for stillness, acceptance, acceptance of when it's something different, and relinquishing when it's time to let go. And with all of this, the trick is to see where we're grasping and to see it for what it is. To see that little moment of greed, I want that, you know. And as I said, sometimes it's fine to have it, and sometimes it's not. Sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't, sometimes we need it, sometimes we don't. And not to worry, not to make our happiness suddenly depend on this thing or this situation, or this experience, or this person, or whatever it might be, to be able to, and willing actually, to let it all come and go. To see where we're putting our attention and our energy. Is it good to be spending so much time doing this, or to make this the focus of my effort? Do I have my priorities straight? Is this wise? Am I using my time, my effort wisely and kindly? You know, or am I being kind of selfish? Contentment, of course, is what it comes down to. Contentment, to trust that we have what we need. And faith, you know, to trust that when we seem to lack something, we will be all right. We're not really lacking. Great Master Dogen said something really interesting. He said, he's talking to his monks, mind you. He said, "I believe that everyone has a certain amount of food and clothing granted from birth. It does not come about by worrying over it, nor will it cease to come by not seeking it. We have the fortune given to us by Shakyamuni, i.e. the Dharma. We also have the food and clothing offered by the deities. Moreover, we have the natural share of life we were allotted when we were born. Without chasing after it or worrying over it, we are sure to receive as much as we need. Even if we chase after and secure a great fortune, what will happen to it when impermanence suddenly comes?" This is very interesting. It sounds a little quaint or fatalistic to us. You know, everything we have what we need, it's all provided by the deities. Or there's people all over the world who don't have what they need and who are starving and, you know, can't get enough to eat. So what about them, you might think? And yet, it does point to truth. We do have what we need. We may not always get what we want, but when it comes down to it, we have what we need. And who knows how karma works? You know, with all those beings in horrible situations, how does that work out? Maybe there's a longer view, a bigger view that we don't yet have, to do what we can to help beings, and yet to trust that greater thing that takes care of beings in bigger ways than we can imagine. Something that takes care of us. And what Dogen's pointing to is really contentment, not anxiously grasping after things. Do we have enough? Will we be okay? You know. And he's pointing to impermanence, as he says. What will happen to our great fortune when impermanence suddenly comes? We can't keep anything. We can't keep our great fortune. We can't keep our health, youth, wealth, any of it. Life is all going to go. And he also said, to learn the practice and maintain the way is to abandon ego attachment to the self, and to follow the instructions of the teacher, follow the Dharma. The essence of this is being free from greed, free from grasping. To put an end to greed, first of all, you have to depart from egocentric self. In order to depart from egocentric self, seeing impermanence is a primary necessity. To see impermanence, why grasp at things if we truly see their impermanence? There is nothing that we can keep forever. And our fundamental form of grasping, of course, is, as he says, the grasping at a self, egocentric self. This is our basic grasping. Me, my stuff. Me and my desires, my views, my history, and who I am. You know. This is the basis of all our other grasping. If we didn't have this me that's the center of the universe, we wouldn't need to grasp. Why should I have that piece of cake when rather than somebody else? Because I want it. And I'm more important to me than anybody else. But actually, if we truly relinquish that, I don't need that big piece of cake. You have it. I have a little piece. Or something else. It's so much lighter. And still, I do love chocolate cake, and I still do look at the biggest piece and think, am I ready for that? You know? Because we're all human beings. We're not perfect. We have our grasping. It arises. And we don't have to beat ourselves for it. It's not a sin, but it can be a suffering. It is a suffering. The more we grasp, the more we suffer. And the basis of all that grasping and suffering is this idea of a self. My belief in the reality of me as a separate being and more important than all the other me's. And if we can begin to relinquish this idea of me, this reality of a me, solid me, then we can begin to relinquish the suffering that comes with the grasping and relinquish the grasping itself. You know, to see the impermanence, to see the ephemeral nature of all this stuff, to see the self that grasps, you know, seeing impermanence, relinquishing the grabbing. And it's interesting, today is a festival of Nagarjuna, who did the great teachings on emptiness. Emptiness of self is one of the aspects, major aspects of emptiness. I'm sure there's far more than I never will know. But the emptiness of my view of me, that I'm not really the me I think I am, just as well. And if you were to truly understand emptiness, to truly understand that this me is not the reality, then we would understand that we don't need to grasp anything. We don't need to have more. We don't need to fill that seeming void in what I think of as me. We don't need all this stuff. We don't need other things to provide us with contentment. But the contentment is, in fact, an understanding that this self is not the reality. How liberating that I don't have to be constantly running around trying to supply this self with what it thinks it wants, because it's bottomless, bottomless. It's always going to be something it wants. And if I can just see that, this is just grasping. Here we are panting for whatever it is, you know. It's okay, I don't have to do that. And if I do fall into grasping, I don't have to berate myself. I can simply say, there we go again. The pie blindness, the cake blindness. It sees the cake, or whatever it is, wants it, grabs it, and then says, what am I doing? You know, we're human, we have this, and yet, if we can just remember that this is all ephemeral, that cake's not going to last. And when it's gone, we know what it becomes, and we're not going to want that. So, what is there solid and permanent about this piece of cake, or any of the stuff? It's none of it's permanent, none of it is lasting, none of it makes us truly happy. But what really helps is to sit beneath that and to trust that we do have what we need and that there is something that helps all of us in all our vagaries and foolishnesses and graspings and non-graspings and all our deluded views, something that underlies that, to keep coming back to that, entrusting ourselves to that, doing our best, that there's nothing we lack and no one that's lacking anything. And if we were truly to understand this, we would really know true wisdom. And as Dogen says, I myself long to be thus. That's our talk for the day. Thank you, thank you. Thank you.